It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State Democratic lawmakers reintroduce a clean repeal of the state's 1849 abortion ban, while Republicans roll out a bill creating rape and incest exceptions. We look at the path forward on abortion with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kelda Royce is here, State Senator representing the 26th District in Madison. State Senator Royce, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be with you, Kate.
Well, let's begin with legislation that you and other Democrats announced yesterday alongside Governor Evers to repeal the state's 19th century abortion ban. Tell us why you're out front on this bill.
Well, we believe that women and not politicians are the only ones who should make those personal decisions about our own bodies and lives and health. Abortion is basic health care. Approximately 1 in 4 American women will need that. And it's overwhelming that Wisconsinites and Americans are pro-choice and want to see the rights that we had under Roe v. Wade restored.
Is reintroducing this bill a waste of time or attention when it faces slim chances in a Republican-controlled legislature?
I don't think it's ever a waste of time to stand up for people's rights and freedoms and to do the right thing. The fact is that if our state were not so severely gerrymandered, this archaic language would already have been repealed from the books because there would be political accountability. It is really important that we keep this issue in the news, front and center, so that Wisconsinites know that there is a clear contrast between Democrats who are fighting for their rights and Republicans who are actually working to make the 1849 language even more extreme, and they want to be attacking birth control and fertility treatment next.
I would just put a pin on that. I want to ask you about the governor calling this bill a clean repeal. What does he mean by that?
I think what he's talking about is before June 24th of last year, before the Dobbs decision came down, women in Wisconsin had the legal right to choose abortion. Now, is it true that abortion was out of reach for many people, that it was difficult to access, there were not as many abortion providers as we need? Yes, of course. However, women had the legal right. And then after Dobbs came down, abortion became unavailable virtually overnight. So all we're talking about is restoring the rights we had under Roe v. Wade, not changing anything else about the way that abortion has been heavily regulated in our state.
There is sentiment that this bill seeks to establish abortion access without court input. Can you explain that a little bit further, what that aspect means?
Well, generally, people's rights should be protected under the Constitution. We shouldn't put people's fundamental humanity up for a vote. And I actually think if you read our state constitution, the very first article talks about equality. So I think there are lots of reasons to believe that abortion rights are protected by the constitution of our state. That said, I think it's also very important that as legislators, we be responsive to what Wisconsinites need. And I hear from people all the time that if we want Wisconsin to thrive, we need to make the state a welcoming place for people. We want to make sure that young people move here and that we retain our best and brightest young workers who right now are leaving the state in droves. We need to retain healthcare professionals. We particularly have a crisis of OBGYN access in huge swaths of the state where there's just not enough providers. And the moves by Republican legislatures to further criminalize healthcare provision are only making Wisconsin more hostile to the very people we need to attract and retain.
Assembly Republicans last week proposed creating exceptions in the state abortion ban for cases involving sexual assault and incest. Governor Evers vowed to veto such a bill if ever it reached his desk. What is your position on creating the exceptions in state law?
Well, let's be clear. That wasn't an actual bill that was being produced in good faith. That was a very cynical and desperate attempt to manipulate the media and the electorate. Republicans see that their Supreme Court candidate is lagging, and they want to do anything to appear less extreme to try to get him over the finish line on April 4th. And, within just a few hours, the Senate president said, yep, that bill's DOA. It's not going to go anywhere. It won't come to the floor of the Senate. And other Republican members were at the same time introducing legislation to actually criminalize free speech relating to abortion. So making it illegal for doctors at UW Health, say, or legislators like me, who are state employees, to even give accurate information about abortion. So the Republican Party is very much not on the same page about this, and the majority of those folks want to see even more restrictions.
Talking about abortion policy and regulation, the path forward with Kelda Royce, Democratic State Senator representing the 26th District in Madison. You can join in the conversation. Your questions and comments welcome. 800-642-1234. Last week, we saw Wyoming become the first state to specifically ban medication abortion pills. Are medication abortion pills legal here in Wisconsin under the state's 1849 ban?
Well, currently, there are no penalties for women who are self-managing abortion. And you can certainly go to websites like aidaccess.org and order medication abortion. It is highly safe, safer than Tylenol, safer than Viagra. It's easily accessible, costs about $100, and you can even order it before you're pregnant to just have on hand. That said, there have been Republican efforts all over this country to criminalize women for seeking abortion care, not just the health care provider. And so, I think that's why it really matters who's in charge. It matters, who wins the Supreme Court race, because all of these issues are going to continue to be fought over for the years to come because the Supreme Court turned its back on women and overturned Roe v. Wade.
Let's bring on a call now. Lori is joining us from Shawano. Lori, hi, what's on your mind?
So we have not had orphanages since the 60s. Part of that probably because the pill was legalized and women were no longer having 10 to 20 kids. But in, say, 10 years, when we've got more kids than common sense, what is the Republican plan for those kids, especially the ones that are unhealthy, the ones that are born to older women, because 35 and over, they tend to have more problems, more issues with their fetuses, and girls who have been raped by a family member. There's going to be all these unhealthy kids. We already have foster kids who aren't being adopted, and now we're going to have all these other kids. And
Lori,
I wish.
thank you. And I want to be able to toss this scenario back to State Senator Royce for comment. Go ahead.
Oh, I think the larger point is really important, and that's that Republicans are doing nothing to address the shameful racial disparities we have in infant maternal mortality here in Wisconsin. They can't even get their act together to expand Medicaid for women postpartum. So there, we have a terrible social safety net. We don't have paid family leave. We do not do enough to ensure that childcare is affordable. So even for people who want a parent, and I'm a parent, I've got five kids and stepkids, and I know how hard it is. Republicans have really nothing to offer parents to make our lives easier and to help our economy thrive. And yet, they also want to deprive us of the very means to plan our families, to space our pregnancies. And that hypocrisy, I think, is clearly on display.
Well, setting aside abortion just for a moment, what legislation aimed at supporting families, supporting children, could you back with Republicans in this session?
Well, I think, the question is what legislation supporting families would any Republican back? Governor Evers' budget has so many wonderful things in it to invest in our kids. From funding for K-12 to access to mental health care to the Child Care Counts program, which, by the way, if that funding goes away, we stand to lose maybe a quarter of the child care slots in the state. And that'll have a devastating effect on our economy and our workforce. What about paid family leave? Being pregnant and giving birth is no picnic, and people's bodies need time to recover, and families deserve time to bond with their new babies or take time off to care for a loved one who's ill.
Do you think you could find consensus on those types of issues with your colleagues across the aisle?
I wish I could. And then Republicans in other states are much more inclined to do things like, for instance, expanding Medicaid. But Republicans in Wisconsin, and I think it's because we are so gerrymandered, they do not have the same incentive to come to the table and cooperate because they face no accountability from voters, and they're in a way victims of their own success with gerrymandering. Their caucus has become so extreme that they're, deeply divided, and too many of them are really focused on, for instance, even removing the very narrow life exception from the 1849 law and criminalizing free speech about abortion. And they're not interested in engaging on these kind of basic problem-solving issues that most voters would hope the legislature would work on.
Bring in Ben in Rhinelander now. Ben, hi. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is not so much on the aspect of abortion, yes or no. Somebody that's middle of the road on it, that doesn't get swayed one way or the other. Mine is on the funding for abortion. Why should my tax dollars be sent to something that I'm not for? Now, whether it's passed or not passed and the legislation changes, my biggest hang up is the funding and the use of tax dollars for a program that I may or may not believe in.
Ben, thank you. State Senator Royce, could you hear that? Tax dollars going to something Ben doesn't believe in.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ben. In Wisconsin, taxpayer dollars have been prohibited from funding abortion for many years. I think that is unfortunate because abortion is basic health care that, one in four women will need. Women should not be treated like criminals when they need to access abortion. And every single one of us loves someone who will need abortion, whether we know it or not. And abortion shouldn't be something that's available only for people with means, only with people that can find transportation or childcare. About 60% of women who have abortions are already mothers, so they know what it is to care for a child. Our tax dollars go to support a whole range of things that we may or may not agree with. I don't like paying for tax breaks to fossil fuel companies. I don't like paying for for wars that we went into based on lies. But ultimately, taxes are how we as a society fund the most essential services that we can't individually bear the cost of, and that certainly can and should include healthcare. If we had a better healthcare social safety net, then we could see the need for abortion drastically reduced because everyone would have access to contraception. And in my view, that really should be the common ground. And it's unfortunate that here in Wisconsin, we have Republican efforts to criminalize birth control and to conflate it with abortion, rather than making sure that everyone who needs it has access to contraception and has the resources they need to parent if that's what they decide to do.
Perspective from Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison on politics at the state capitol. Call in with questions. What's on your mind? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison. Call in with questions, what you want lawmakers to know, especially now around budgeting priorities amid the historic surplus. You can join the discussion any point here, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. State Senator Royce, you sit on the Finance Committee that drafts the legislature's state budget, Joint Finance Committee. You're one of four Democrats on the 16-member committee. What is your top priority for getting through budget negotiations?
Well, there are so many great things in Governor Evers' budget that will help Wisconsin be a place where everyone can thrive. My priority is always kids. What is best for our kids? Everything from K-12 education, child care, to higher education. But I think, especially right now, we have got to do something about shared revenue. This is money that the state has promised to local governments, but for decades has not met its commitment. And that's why local governments are forced into these terrible binds of not being able to fund essential public services, you know, police, fire, clean water, and it's time for the state to fund their fair share and to have a permanent fix so that local communities can govern themselves without the kind of fiscal vice being put on them by state legislators.
The governor, in his plan, would envision 20% of state sales taxes to go to local governments to help in their funding. What do you think joint finance would be on board with?
I think that's an open question. I think, you know, the good news is that this is a problem that affects every community in the state, right? This is not a red or blue problem. This is not just Milwaukee and Madison or big cities. If you talk to Republican town board chairs all over the state, they're saying, hey, we don't have enough money to keep our roads paved. We got to turn them back to gravel. So I think Republican legislators do have an incentive here to come to the table and negotiate in good faith with Governor Evers, something that will help our local communities. I'm going to remain very open-minded and hopeful that we can get something done because this is certainly the time, both because of the dire financial position that our local governments are going to be in the next couple of years, and also because we do have an historic surplus that is in many ways funded because we have divested from the state's responsibilities to local governments for many years.
Yes, but Wisconsin Policy Forum laying it out, if Evers' budget were to be adopted in full, it would leave our state with a structural deficit, leaving it more difficult to balance the next state budget. Are you concerned about a large structural imbalance with all the things that want to be done with a historic surplus?
No, because Governor Evers' budget is fiscally responsible. It makes the kinds of critical investments that we have been lacking for decades. You know, in Wisconsin, we have been asking our schools, our teachers, the university, local governments to do more with less for decades. And, you know, they have done so admirably, but we have got to start making the kinds of investments that put us on equal and competitive footing with other states and that make Wisconsin a place where people want to start businesses and they want to raise their families. We are losing our best and brightest, and we can't continue to do that and expect that Wisconsin is going to be economically successful. So these are really important investments to make. And Governor Evers has put forth a balanced budget that is going to allow us to thrive in perpetuity because we will have more tax revenue. We will have more people in the workforce. We will have essential services covered. And all of those things are economically virtuous, meaning they will lead to even more economic activity. Mm-hmm. I know the Republicans are throwing out some dishonest numbers because they don't want to expand Medicaid, expand Badger Care, and that's going to cost Wisconsin taxpayers $1.6 billion. So yes, if you ignore the fact that Governor Evers wants to expand Medicaid, then yes, you can say we have a structural deficit, but that is by no means Governor Evers' fault. That one goes on the Republicans.
Talking state politics with Kel DeRoy's Democratic State Senator representing the 26th District in Madison. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. I want to just touch base here on these roundtable discussions as the budget comes together. Hearing from Wisconsinites directly, Finance Committee Democrats are holding separate public roundtable sessions to gather public information, public opinions. Why is that?
The Joint Finance Committee is only going to be holding four hearings around the state for everyone who lives in Wisconsin. And we felt that that really was not sufficient to give people a chance to make their voice heard on this very important budget. And none of those hearings are going to be held in the five largest cities in the state. So we wanted to have some additional hearings and give people, particularly in some of the larger cities that don't always get attention, like Milwaukee and Green Bay, a chance to make their voices heard as well.
You are a minority voice in the most powerful committee in state government. Do you feel like your voice is heard on children and family issues?
Well, Kate, one of the challenges in our legislature is that we are so deeply gerrymandered. But the thing that keeps me going is knowing that I represent the majority of the people in the state of Wisconsin. I hear from people who are represented by Republicans, and we try to respond to everyone who reaches out to our office. And they say, you know, I can't get a response from my Republican legislator. They just ignore me. But I really appreciate you standing out and, you know, speaking up for instance, LGBTQ teens and mental health care. And so I really feel a responsibility to make sure that I'm working in the best interest of the state and not just my constituents.
Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Kate. Thanks for the opportunity.
Democratic State Senator Kel DeRoys of Madison, first elected to the state Senate in 2020, served previously in the Assembly. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.